Hello and welcome back to Neely's Bend Baptist Church's Sermon Archive. I'm Austin Jones, the pastor here at Neely's Bend Baptist Church in Madison, Tennessee, and I'm so grateful you've taken the opportunity to listen to our sermons here at Neely's Bend. At Neely's Bend, our mission is that we want to equip people with the gospel so they can live in worship of God and one another fellowship and on mission by making disciples. My hope is that these sermons from Neely's Bend Baptist Church will encourage you with the gospel to live on mission and one another fellowship and in worship of God. If you have any questions about the gospel or Neely's Bend Baptist Church, please feel free to email us at nbbc@neelysbendbaptist.org. Thanks, and we hope you have a great week.
If you have a copy of God's Word with this morning, I hope you do. If you don't, there's a Bible there in front of you to grab and read along with. But turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. We're going to continue our sermon series of living on mission and having a heart for mission and living for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we continue to make our way through here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. The Word of God says this. Now I would remind you, brothers, the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preach to you, unless you believe in vain. For I deliver to you as first importance, but I also receive, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scripture, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believe. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, this morning we just thank you so much for your grace. The grace that you extended to Paul here, the grace that you extended to all the believers here at this church, Lord, the grace that you extended to all the believers in this world, God. Now, we thank you so much for that grace. This morning, as we come to the preaching of your word, God, I pray that you will help me to preach with simplicity, with clarity, and passion, that I preach nothing but your word and your word alone. And God, as we remember and rehearse the message of the gospel today, God, I pray that you help us to remember it in our lives, Lord, and that we're able to rehearse it to ourselves and rehearse it to others. God, we pray all this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. In April of 1775, the British troops were marching toward Lexington and Concord. You've all heard the story. You know where I'm going with this. They're planning to seize colonial military supplies and arrest Patriot leaders, but here comes Paul Revere, running from town to town on his horse, shouting, "The British are coming, the British are coming." Whether he was really shouting or whether he was not shouting and just kind of privately, personally telling people, we don't know, but regardless, Paul Revere had a message. And his message was, "The British are coming." In church, just as Paul Revere had went from place to place, town to town, with a message, church, we too, guess what, have a message to declare. We have a message to proclaim, and that is the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ. This message is a message of redemption and the saving power of Jesus and how he can extend his grace and mercy to others. And if we are to be a people that live on mission, then this means we must know what that message is. We must know the message that we are to share, that we are to proclaim, and we should know it well. Church, everything in this world, whether you realize it or not, has a message. They're trying to sell you something through a message. They're trying to get you to purchase something through a message. Every company, every government, every political party, every workplace, every advertisement on TV, every church even to a degree, and every single individual has a message to tell. And these people will go great lengths to tell their message. Did you know that globally, over $1 trillion is spent per year on advertising? $1 trillion per year spent on advertising. Why do they do that? Because they want to tell you their message. They want to tell you their message. They want you to hear the message. They want you to believe the message and respond to that message with a purchase, whether you're buying something or an action of trying to get you to do something. But church, our message is different. Our message is a message of hope, a message of love, a message of peace, a message of joy, a message of rest, a message of life, a message of redemption. Church, our world is full of broken people. We're all broken, right? We're all broken. And in the brokenness, they are going to look anywhere and to anything that they think can give them hope, love, peace, joy, rest, life, redemption. They're going to look wherever they can to find whatever they're looking for. They're going to run from one thing to another, searching for answers, searching for fulfillment, searching for hope. Many of you may be thinking back to your own life and how you were this person searching the world for all that there is until you finally found Christ. And He was the answer. Unfortunately, the things of this world, they bring no lasting hope to me. They don't bring any lasting love or lasting peace or lasting joy or lasting rest. They don't bring lasting redemption or lasting purpose or even lasting life. It's all temporary. And in its temporariness, it's going to let them down. And you can almost say it's going to lead them into further brokenness. But church, the message we proclaim, it gives lasting, eternal hope, love, peace, joy, purpose, life, redemption. We have a message to save. We have a message of good news. And that message is the gospel of Jesus. That message is powerful. And that message is worth being proclaimed. And church, hey church, I just simply want to remind us of the message of the mission. I just want to remind us of the gospel of Jesus that we have been called to proclaim, the message that we believe. And if you're here this morning and you know that you are supposed to live on mission and you know you're supposed to seek your opportunities to proclaim the gospel of Jesus, but you fear what to say, I want you to know the sermon I hope is for you. You struggle with what to say, you don't know what to say, or you're afraid you're going to forget what to say, I want you to know that this sermon is for you. It's to hopefully to help you remember and rehearse the gospel of Jesus to yourself and to others. And so, church, I just simply want to put four words in front of you. Four simple words. We've heard these words before. I did a sermon series on them in the past at one point in time. You already know these four words: God, man, Christ, and response. These four words, they come from a book that I read some time ago titled What is the Gospel? And it just simply is a book about what the gospel is. And I'm going to go ahead and show you. On the back table back there is some little gospel tracts. You can see the gospel tracts here on the back table. It says, what is the gospel? And it's going to teach you these four words: God, man, Christ, response. I encourage you to take one home with you, remember it for yourself, and then give it to somebody if you want to, or use it as a way to share the gospel of Jesus. We'll come back to that in a moment. But with that, the first word that we have here is God. The gospel, you could say, begins with God. The message begins with God. And in our passage here, Paul says in verse 3 that Christ died for our sins. Christ died for our sins. He died for us. What is sin? Why did Christ die? He died for our sins. What is sin? Sin is missing the mark. Picture with me for a moment a person shooting a bow at a bullseye. The bullseye is the mark, right? The bullseye is the place you're aiming for. Anything outside the bullseye is considered sin, missing the mark. That would mean that the standard for a good shot or a righteous shot at a target would be the bullseye. Anything outside is sin. Anything outside is failure. Anything outside is falling short. And so the natural question now is, what is the standard for humanity? What is the bullseye? What is the mark for humanity must live up to? And the simple answer is God. God. The standard is God. The mark is God. The bullseye, you could say, is God. Why? Because He is the righteous, holy Creator. We looked at Genesis 1 last week and we saw that God is the one who created all that there is. Everything that you see around us, He is the Creator of the earth, the water, the birds, the animals, the fish, the sky, the stars, the moon, the planets. God has created everything that you see. And on the sixth day, God created man. And after God has created man, He looks at His creation, and what does He say? It is very good. It's very good. It was perfect. There was no wrong in the world. There was no sin in the world. Everything was just great, fine, and dandy. Why? Because God had righteously created it, and His creation was good. His creation was good. He established a righteous creation. Creation being good points us to the righteousness of God. Points us to the holiness of God. And this is something that we must understand. This is something that people have to know when they hear the gospel of Jesus. They must know that God is a righteous and holy God. We sang this morning, holy, 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 which comes from Revelation chapter 4, verse 8. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Psalm 145, 17. The Lord is righteous in all His ways and kind in all His works. Psalm 117, for the Lord is righteous. He loves righteous deeds. The upright shall behold His face. The standard is God. The mark is God. The bullseye is God in His holiness and righteousness. And when humanity doesn't meet that standard, when humanity misses the mark, they sin against God. And there's consequences to this. Which leads us to the second word, man. We just learned that God created man, placed man in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve, the first humans, were there in the garden, and God had given them a command. God had given them a law to follow. That command was not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He gave them a command, He gave them a law, and if they did eat of that, if they did partake of it, they would surely die. And as the story goes, Eve was tempted. She takes a bite. She says, Adam, this taste is really good. Come and take a bite. Adam takes a bite, and thus humanity had rebelled against God. They had a standing. They had a mark, and they missed it. They didn't keep the standard, and thus they sinned against the holy God. And God would come down, and He would banish them from the garden. And tells them exactly what He told them before. If they did that, they would die. But God, being the gracious God He is, guess what He doesn't do? He doesn't end them right there. Nope, He gives them grace and lets them live a life that they will eventually die. One man's sin affected all of humanity. That very good creation was then messed up. It's still a good creation. Don't ever say it's not, but it's still a good creation. But now this world is full of brokenness. This world is full of sin. This world is full of sickness. This world is full of disease. This world is full of pain and agony and tragedy and all sorts of things. All because of sin. Adam, Eve messed it all up. And from that point forward, every human born will be born a sinner. I'm reminded of what David says in Psalm 51:5. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. David isn't saying that his mother was sinful in her action to conceive. No, he is saying he was a sinner from the moment he was conceived. Why? Because we just have a sinful nature about us. I mean, why? Romans 3:10 says, none is righteous. No, not one. If you keep going, it just continues to explain the depravity of man. Then you get to Romans 3:23, which says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And if you go on to Romans chapter 5, verse 12, says, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. Every individual on this earth is a sinner. They have all rebelled against God, and when people hear the gospel of Jesus, they must know they are sinners. They must know they have rebelled against God. They must know that, because sometimes I think we short the gospel by telling people, hey, just believe in Jesus. Just follow Jesus. Just trust in Jesus without ever telling them why they need Jesus. You ever picked up on that? If we don't tell people why they need Jesus, then why do they need Jesus? Why would they want to believe Jesus? Why would they want to follow Jesus? Why would they want to trust Jesus? Why do we need a Savior? We have to tell people that they are sinners. Or else they won't know the reason why they need Jesus. And we tell them because this sin has separated man from God. Remember, God in His holiness, God in His righteousness. And because of this, God cannot look upon sin. He cannot be in relationship with sin. And that ultimately condemns man to death. Just as Adam and Eve was condemned to death, so too is every human across the world condemned to death. And we all know it's a fact because guess what we all do at some point in our life? We die. But it's not just physical death. It's also spiritual death. If you don't believe in Jesus, you will spiritually die. And you will not spend eternity in heaven, but rather spend eternity in hell, eternally separated from God. And it's because of this that man needs to know they are sinners, and that man needs to know they need to be saved. Because there is no bridge to God. And this is why Paul said Christ died for our sins. He died for our sins because there was no way to get to God. You couldn't climb a ladder to get there. You couldn't earn your way there. You can't work your way there. There's not multiple ways to get there. There is one way to get to Jesus, or to get to the Father in heaven, to get to God. And God, we talked about Him being holy, we talked about Him being righteous, we talked about Him being the Creator. And I want you to know there are so many more things that we need to know about who God is and what He has done. But God, in His love, in His kindness, in His mercy, in His grace, would send His Son, Jesus Christ, to make a way, to be a bridge for man to be in relationship with God. And so this leads to the third word, Christ. Christ. And verse 3 says, once again, Christ died for our sins. How is it that Jesus was worthy enough, was good enough, was able to die for our sins? What about Christ is so important that he is able to die for our sins, to pay the price? It's because he was the God-man. He had two natures to himself. He was God and he was man. And he was one person. And in him being God, he was completely righteous, completely holy. He had no sin about himself, which is why he was born from the Virgin Mary. It's why he was able to live a sinless life, one without mistake. Because he was God, guess what? He was able to meet the standard. He was able to hit the mark. He was the bullseye. Because he's righteous and holy as God was. And this means that Christ is able to be the perfect sacrifice. Now, church, I want you to know, there's a whole lot I'm leaving out by not talking about the whole sacrificial system here. But what I want you to know is that Jesus had to be the sacrifice to pay the price for our salvation. Jesus had to be sacrificed to pay the price of our sins. And in his sacrificial death on the cross, he took upon the sins of all who would believe in him. And in so doing, God returns back on Christ. Because God cannot look upon what? Sin. God cannot look down on someone's sin. And Christ would die a sinner's death, a death that he did not deserve. But he did this for you and I. He did this so that those we proclaim the gospel to would believe in Jesus and be saved. He did this to make a bridge so people could be in relationship with God. He died so that salvation can happen. But church, he didn't stay dead, did he? He didn't stay in the grave. He didn't stay in the tomb. No, he didn't. As verse 4 through 7 says, he was buried. He was raised, and he appeared to Cephas. To 12 disciples, more than 500 brothers and sisters, to James and to Paul. And church, it is Christ. It's because Christ lived that we can have salvation. In his resurrection, he overcame sin, and he overcame death. Church, I'm reminded this morning of John 3, 16 through 17. We read it last week. I don't think we can read this enough, but in John 3, 16 through 17, Jesus says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." And then he goes on in verse 17 and says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." God sent his Son Jesus to die on the cross so that whoever believes in him would be saved, would have eternal life. Christ is the answer. Christ is the answer to those needing peace. Christ is the answer to those longing for hope. Christ is the answer to those in need of rest. Christ is the answer for those struggling with depression as he gives joy. Christ is the answer for those who feel they have no purpose in life because he gives us purpose. Christ is the answer to those who feel broken, who feel they can't be forgiven, who feel they can't be restored, who feel they've been too far gone. You ever met someone like that? I'm too far gone. Christ is the answer even for them. Christ is the answer to those who feel they have no life because he gives eternal life. Christ is the one who redeems and gives redemption. Christ is the answer for all of humanity. And all man must do is simply respond. And this is our fourth word, man must respond. Respond. The man must respond by believing and repenting of sin. You look at verse 1, and Paul says, they received the gospel. Now, allow me to remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand. He goes on in verse 2. He says, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believe in vain. I'm going to say something a little word here before I go on any further. If you believe in vain, guess what you're not doing? You're not holding fast to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see that? You see what I'm saying here? To believe in vain means you're not holding fast. But to truly believe in Jesus Christ is to hold fast to the gospel of Jesus and His works and what He's done on the cross. When people hear the gospel proclaimed to them or spoken to them, they must respond. The gospel of Jesus demands a response. And people will either respond of one or two ways. The first way they're going to respond, they might respond, is that they just simply continue living in their unbelief. Continue living in their sin. They choose not to believe in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of their lives. They continue to believe that Jesus is the Savior of the world, but they don't believe that. Continue knowing the consequences. And when they choose not to believe, church, I want you to know there is no reason for you to feel shame or guilt on your part. And I think sometimes we don't want to share the gospel because we're afraid that whoever hears it and they don't respond or they completely say, no, I don't believe that, is we are going to feel shame. We're going to feel guilt. We're going to feel bad. Did I do something wrong? Did I say something wrong? The answer is no. God just calls us to proclaim. That's the only responsibility we have. We don't have to feel the shame or the guilt. There's no reason to feel as if you failed in your gospel conversation. Because I want you to know this. Every proclamation of the gospel is a success. Because every proclamation of the gospel is a seed planted. Or seed watered. I read one time that it takes about 7 gospel conversations for someone to possibly believe in Jesus Christ. 7 gospel conversations. And church, I just want to encourage you, you might be the first, or you might be the second, or you might be the 15th, or you might be the 100th. I don't know what that would be. But my encouragement is that you just continue to share the gospel of Jesus Christ because you're either planting or you are watering. And let me tell you, God's going to give the glory. He's going to give the glory. The church, as Jesus tells the disciples in Matthew 10:14, if anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave that house or home. I think sometimes we get caught up and we keep the dust on us. And we don't shake it off. We hold on to it. Shake it off. Dust your shoes off. And keep on going. Stay persistent in seeking opportunities to speak the gospel of Jesus. Because it might just be that someone will respond in the second of two ways. They might respond with belief and repentance. When Jesus came and began His ministry in Mark chapter 1, verse 15, He says, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus. Church, salvation truly is simple. You hear the good news of Jesus Christ and you believe in the good news and you repent of your sin. Sometimes I think we make salvation feel like we got to jump through a bunch of hoops. But I promise, it really is just that simple. Believe and repent in the gospel. That's it. You don't have to say a prayer. You ain't got to walk down an aisle. You ain't got to raise your hand. You ain't got to jump up and down. You don't have to do anything special. But just right where you're sitting, just simply believe and repent. And you know what? The Bible says you will be saved. And so this morning, I just encourage you, if you've never believed in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, and you've been searching for hope, you've been searching for peace, you've been searching for joy, you've been running from this to that, and you haven't found anything anywhere, this morning I want you to know that Jesus is your answer. Yeah. Jesus is the answer to all the issues that you have in your life, all the brokenness that you are struggling with or going through. And I want you to know this morning he can save you, and all that means is you just believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And trust that he is your Savior and Lord. And repent of your sins. The Bible says you will be saved. And so, there's any of you here this morning that's making the decision this morning to respond by believing in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, I'd love to have a conversation with you and talk to you about what it means to follow Jesus. If I'm intimidating, I encourage you to talk to a faithful friend or a faithful family member that believes in Jesus Christ. And I'm sure that they will walk you along in the way to help you follow Jesus. Church, this is the message. We take the people, we simply share it, we call them to response. But we don't just go on and on and on and on and on, trying to force someone to believe in Jesus. We share the message, we speak it, we call them to response, we trust God to change it, and then we leave it at that. There's no need to just keep going on and on, pressuring people to feel that they are forced to believe in Jesus. You know when you go to, like, Sam's Club or Costco or Bass Pro Shops or something like that, and there's always those credit card people or those vacation people or AT&T at Costco or somewhere else, you know. And you know what we always try to do? We go the other way. And we don't want to talk to them, right? Because we don't want to feel pressure. Does that make sense? Because guess what they're going to do? Keep going on and on and on and on and on and on and on. Just as we don't like it when credit card people try to get us to sign up for a credit card that we don't want. Let me tell you guys, the same thing can be said about people that don't want to believe in Jesus Christ. We share it, we speak it, and we move on. If God's going to save them, guess what he's going to do? He's going to save them. And if it's not through your conversation, then guess what? It'll be through someone else's conversation. We just have a responsibility to speak it, share it, and then move on. There, if someone does believe, if someone does repent, I've already said, the Bible says they are saved. They ain't got to say a special prayer or anything else. They just simply got to believe. But if anything, you feel like there has to be a prayer, I think a prayer of thankfulness is a good and right thing to do. And just helping said person to say, Lord, thank you for the salvation you have given me. And let that be it. Let that be it. Church, our four words today, God, man, Christ, response. God is the creator, he's righteous and holy, he cannot be in fellowship with sin. Man is sinful and rebellious, he sinned against God, and the consequences is physical death and spiritual death. Man is not in relationship with God as they've been separated. Man needs to be saved. Christ is the Son of God sent to be the Savior of the world. He is the God-man. He was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life. He died a sacrificial death on the cross of Jesus. He was buried in a tomb, and 3 days later, he rose from the grave, overcoming sin and death. He is our Redeemer, and salvation only comes through the name of Jesus. And response. Man must respond. Is he going to continue and live in unbelief? Unrepentance, or if you're going to repent of their sins and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's it, guys. Of course, there's more to the story of the gospel, right? There's a lot more you can say to the story of the gospel. The reality is, that's the basis. God, man, Christ, response. Church, I want to close today by just taking an opportunity to share with you some different gospel pathways or gospel guides to help you be better at sharing the gospel of Jesus. To help you be better at remembering the gospel or rehearsing the gospel or rehearsing the gospel with somebody else. And the first guide that I want to point you to is the three circles. And so I'll put it on the screen here for you. And if you follow the circles there, you see where we're going and whatnot. You have God's design, and we all know what God's design is, right? To live in relationship with Him. To live in a place where there is no sin, right? You think creation, you think Adam and Eve. That was how it was designed to be. However, sin came into the world. Adam and Eve sinned. all men, all people are sinners, which means that the world is broken. And in the brokenness, as people are broken, they're going to look for different answers. They're going to run to this, they're going to run to that, they're going to run to this, trying to find a way to fill the void of the brokenness. But as they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, they might repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus. And then when they believe and they repent in the gospel of Jesus, it is going to restore them, recover and pursue. It restores them to a right relationship back to God. It puts them back in God's design to save. And as they get put back into that, they are recovering and they are pursuing God's design purpose for their life. And so that is just the three simple circles explanation. They make it easy for you to be able to share on a napkin at a restaurant, to make a share on a napkin at a coffee shop, to write it down on a piece of paper. They have an app for it. It's just called Life, I think it's Life on Mission, I think it's the app. So if you go to the app store on your phone, you should be able to find, type in Life on Mission or Three Circles. I'm almost certain that it will pop up. I have a copy right here of just a little pamphlet or a little guide. Keith is showing me the app on his phone right now. I have ordered some of these pamphlets and they're going to be here. I hope they're going to be here before today, but they didn't get here today, so they'll be here this week. But next week we'll have them sitting back on the back table for you to take home with you if you want one. And this will just help you to remember and rehearse the gospel to yourself and to others. The second little illustration that I got for you guys, our gospel pathway, gospel guide, is a website called Two Ways to Live. Two Ways to Live, and Tucker here is going to be my kind of guide and walk me through what's happening here. And so if you just go to twowaystolive.com, this will bring up, and it starts off with talking about different things there. But if you scroll down, you see the first one, God, the good ruler and creator, right? The gospel begins with who? God, right? So there we go. God, the good ruler, the creator. It even gives you kind of an explanation or a detailed explanation of it. If you keep scrolling down to number two, you get to our rebellion against God. Man has sinned. If you go down to number three, God's justice, which is death, spiritual death, banishment, exile, right? All those good things. You go down to the next one, number four, God sent Jesus to die for us, so now you've got Christ in there. And then if you keep going to number five, Jesus, the risen ruler and savior, so you have the resurrection of Jesus and the ascension of Jesus. And number six, there's two ways to live, calling people to a response. Continue to live in unrepentance and unbelief, or live in belief and repentance of sin. I think that's the last one. Show down for me one more time. And it even tells you how to respond. So there's a little kind of gospel guide or gospel pathway for you. I encourage you, there's also an app for this. You go to your app store, just talk up this search, Two Ways to Live, and it'll pull up. So I encourage you to do that if you have the opportunity to. The third guide that I would just kind of simply show you and remind you of is the old-fashioned Roman road, right? We all remember the Romans Road, and so I got a picture here for you. I hope you can read it. If you can't read it, just focus on the big words on the left. And then we have the first one, we are all sinners. Romans 3:23, number two, sin brings death. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Number three, God shows his love to Christ. Romans 5:8. Salvation is the free gift. If you go back to reach you back to Romans 6:23, but the free gift of God is salvation to those who believe. Eternal life, and then number five, respond in faith, and number six, call upon the Lord. So that's just the Roman road, it's a very traditional kind of pathway. You can also remind yourself of that as well. And the last thing that I would say is the gospel here. What is the gospel? There's a pamphlet back there. Take one of these home with you. Look it over, look at it. There's also a Who is Jesus one. If you want to help people understand Jesus, this is kind of helps you teach you that Jesus is the God of man and who he is and how he's the Christ, the Messiah. And so there's some of those back there as well. And church, they are scripts, right? They help you kind of walk through. But I want you to see them more as just kind of guides or pathways. Because the reality is when you start these conversations, it may not be that you go word by word by word by word. It may be that you do a circle around things before you actually finally make it all the way through. And I want you to know that that's okay. That's okay. All right? You don't have to have it just in a straight order. It may be you go here, and you go back, and you go here, and you go here, and you go here. And that's okay, guys. I had a conversation with a guy at Lowe's the other day. He told me he was a Muslim, and that he was about to get ready to celebrate the Muslim holiday. And just simply in that conversation, guess what? I didn't follow the three circles. I didn't follow God, man, Christ response. I didn't follow two ways to live. I just simply shared, well, we believe that Jesus is the Christ. Right? And we believe that he is the Messiah, and he's not just a good teacher, but that he is the last prophet. And they just believe that Jesus is a prophet. That's it. But we believe that he's the final prophet, the last prophet. And just talk to him about what we believe Jesus is. And of course, he doesn't really seem to be interested at all. And you know what? That's okay. I know several of you go to Lowe's, and so if you come across the man, I encourage you to say, hey, talk to him. And you know how this conversation started, guys? It started by me saying, I need cash back. And I pressed the cash back button because I need a haircut. Some of you are looking at me right now, probably going, he needs a haircut. So he got a haircut 2 weeks ago. But I need some cash back. And when I pressed the button, he said, oh, no, we didn't have cash down here. And I was like, okay. And I've got to go all the way over there and get cash. But besides the point, I said, I need it just to get a haircut. And he goes, yeah, I need to get a haircut too because we got a holiday coming up. And me being curious, I just simply said, what holiday? And he goes on to tell me that it's Resh. I hope I said it right. I'm not 100% what the holiday is called. But it's the Muslim holiday after whatever they're celebrating, Ramadan, whatever it is. I said, oh, okay, you know. And so then just get curious. Just asking questions, right? That's simply the best way to start a conversation, is just be curious about someone's life. Church, if I can encourage you in any way, just simply be curious. Be curious. Ask people questions. And I promise you that the Lord may open a door to have a conversation with somebody. And so with that, guys, I just want to encourage you, download the three circles out, download the two ways to live out, take home a pamphlet with you if you can, and just familiarize yourself with these kind of pathways. Read over them. Honestly, if you just took once a week and just kind of refreshed yourself, you know, if you did that over a course of a few months or something like that, after a few months, you know what, you're going to be pretty familiar with it, right? How many of y'all have a recipe that you can cook by heart? Right? How do you know, why can you cook it by heart? Because you've rehearsed it over and over and over and over. How many of y'all know the gospel by heart? See what I'm saying here? All right? So we rehearse it over and over and over and over. You know what we'll remember? We'll remember a pathway to the gospel of Jesus. With that, guys, I'm going to be done, or else I'm going to keep rambling here. But we have a message. We have a responsibility to share the message. And this also means we need to have spiritual ears open and listening for spiritual conversations that might lead to gospel conversations. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we just come to you right now, Lord, and we just thank you for this message, Lord. We thank you for the message of salvation, the message of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, God. We thank you for the salvation that you have brought upon us and given to us who have believed in you as Savior and Lord. And God, today I just pray that we will remember this message, we will rehearse this message, and we will take this message to anybody that will listen. And God, I pray that you will just put people in our lives that will be interested in hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Interested in learning more about the salvation of Christ. And that you will help us to be bold in proclaiming the message, God. God, we thank you once again for Jesus and the salvation we have in him. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen. As we come to a moment here, it's a moment of reflection. I just encourage you just to, right now, just reflect on the gospel for yourself. And just think about how Jesus has saved your soul because of that.